Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee of August 8th, 2019 to order. And let's please start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, right. It's time to be free.
I feel like we were like on generator or something.
Yeah, the AC may be off.
Because all of a sudden the lights just came on full.
I just turned that light on.
Never mind. It's a long day, guys.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from July 11th.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Minutes are approved from July 11th. We're going to pass on the UCR, whoops,
where are they?
UCRRA.
Here.
Yeah. Unless anybody has a report about the UCRRA, I know that the bids were opened for transportation. They had already secured a contract for disposal. Oops.
Oh. Just water.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Oh, is that me? I guess?
Yeah, you might want to move your,
I think
move your tablet, Lynn.
Yeah.
Oh. It's in front of it.
It must be level though, because it's not moving.
Sorry.
It's not migrating at all.
There's some
air today.
It's been, we all collectively have gone through watching, mass killings, and I think we're all a little bit off kilter, let alone what was, just a difficult meeting. So let's just bear with each other. Texas and Ohio are not the only places that are mourning.
Try not to let it get that crack at all, because it will explode the table like instantly. Oh, because
yeah.
Good
things
are
done.
They refinished the table. The records will know once that interstate records are
water. Your biometric
no,
cleanup
you
crew.
Lynn, you want to clean the table.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. So, as I was saying, I believe that the bids that were opened were high, but not as high as feared.
Oh, for the transportation?
For the transportation.
That's good news.
Yeah. So we will see.
And that was 5 years?
Yes. We will see an increase in, undoubtedly an increase in the tipping fee. How much is yet to be determined. That'll be up to the board.
It'll be next month probably because of the budget.
Mm-hmm. But the, from my perspective, that gives us a 5-year window of time to get a lot of work done. The agency will be developing a plan. We'll need to be reviewing it and passing it. And then it needs to be implemented, which includes, going out for designs, finding the funding, and then actually doing construction. And if we're going to keep on track, all of that should be done in 5 years. That's how I look at it. Anybody want to make any other comments before we get on to resolutions? Okay. The first resolution is number 272, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 5 of 2019, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster to include mandatory food scraps composting by large generators. And this would be held on Tuesday, September 10th at 6:15 p.m. Does anybody have any?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you.
Seconded.
Now, what we have in the packet is an original resolution that an original law that was drafted before we had an opportunity to have several meetings with the Department of Health, the executive branch of Ulster County, including various representatives of different departments and the county executive's deputy. And then those meetings were also run by the people who helped develop this, the stakeholders that include people who generate compost or haul food scraps. And it was amended to include a redlined version of the law. And I would like to, now that this is on the table, I'd like to ask if there are any comments or questions on the redlined version. And then in committee, I'd like to see if we can amend it so that a clean version goes to accept those changes, so that a clean version will go to public hearing. And there are two other modifications I'd like to make, but let's hear.
So we need a motion to accept the red line amendment?
Motion.
I'll second.
Any questions on the red on the amended version? I can go over. Yes, please.
No, I just have a. Excuse me if I'm just going to get to it and be lazy. Just ask you directly because we had talked about it. Was there any further thought on the public school districts?
Yes, this version still includes, for Ulster County, it includes ultimately anyone who generates more than half a ton a week, 1,000 pounds a week of food scraps, without any exceptions.
Okay.
The state law does only cover those who generate more than 2 tons, and they exempt. We believe that we are entitled to be more inclusive or stricter, and there's also very good experience inside the county and beyond and in other states where schools in particular are very important because the educational component and healthcare facilities. One thing we've done that the state has not done is allow for a waiver if there is a difficulty in keeping post-consumer food waste for, and I'll give you a really good example. At SUNY New Paltz, they're composting most of their food waste. The one place they're unable to keep it free from contamination is the food court. But the dormitories, everyone participates, the staff knows what they're doing, the students know what they're doing, and they get a very clean product. So based on that experience and experience of others, we are allowing someone to request a waiver for post-consumer contaminated food waste. That will not apply in 2022. Get my ears straight for different laws. In 2022, because that's when, for any generator that generates more than 2 tons, the state law will kick in, and there is no waiver for post-consumer in the state law.
Just to clarify that, the specific waiver that Manna mentioned is actually part of a much broader theme that actually was in the law before, but we made it very explicit, which is that anything the state is regulating, which in particular is the 2-ton folks after 2022, and not the schools and not the hospitals, we are explicitly not regulating. In other words, we're only picking up the institutions that are, for some reason, outside of the state purview.
Right.
And so therefore, the specific thing Amanda mentioned, which is the waiver for post-consumer, et cetera, if the state is regulating that facility, which they are, Nothing in this law will apply to a facility that the state is regulating. We only apply to what the state is not regulating.
Gotcha. Thank you.
My only question, Manna, is as it relates to school districts, is that in the aggregate for the entire district or the individual campuses?
It's individual facilities in the law right now, not in
the aggregate.
For example,
Kingston Schools Consolidated, it would be the individuals for each particular campus.
Yeah. And, again, there is good experience with schools. A lot of that has to do with proper education and preparation. While we're having a discussion, I want to say that if this passes and goes into effect for the 2 tons or more in January 2020, the one thing I will want to do is just defer enforcement, and we can look at the language to do that. That's not in here yet, so that, let me just say that on the page numbers are on, not on here, but where it says Section 30450, applicability, all those should be January. But the enforcement, because of the short time, would not go into effect until April, so that the schools would get notified ahead of time and they would have some time to prepare so that they can be on board. We have determined that there's processing capacity, that there's hauling capacity, and certainly for the 2 tons or more. As a matter of fact, quite a few of those entities that generate 2 tons or more are already composting in Ulster County anyway. And I don't yet know where most of the schools would fall. The one question I had was, what happens in a few years when we go down to half a ton? And then you start getting some of the fast food places, which, that's a little more difficult. But Tim Rose pointed out that on his way back from Pennsylvania, he stopped at a rest stop, and McDonald's was already separating their food waste at this particular rest stop because he was in an area where it was already required. Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, and ultimately New York State, New York City is already composting. I think we're in a transition. And given the really rigorous process, including all the stakeholders that we've gone through, I think we've worked out most of the concerns or questions. But yes, please.
Well, the one question I had was about this particularly, that the going down to, year by year by year, and including that all here rather than doing 2 tons and maybe even 1 ton in 21, and then leaving the next step for a period where we would have a better handle on what it was going to require. So, I think it is encouraging to say that we would want to be regulating more and more businesses down to lower and lower levels, but if we don't actually know how that would work practically, I would favor not including them in the law at this time and enacting a law in 2022 that addresses them with specifics that we would know at that time.
We originally were going to stop at 1 and then go through a process. Instead, we built that review process in every single year so that it would be the opposite. If we're really having trouble before 2022, before going less than a ton, we would know about it and we could modify the existing law. There were people that felt that if we did it, we should, not go below half a ton, because then, it doesn't mean that people that generate less than half a ton can't participate, but they wouldn't be required to. But there is a review mechanism built in. It's a little hard to read with all the things that were added in and things that are crossed out. But I can tell you that was as a result of, you know, trying to include the agency. The main thing that changed is that we had recommended that the Department of Health do the education, the receiving of reports, and the enforcement. And they made a very good case, particularly because they function under Article 6. Their sanitarians get reimbursed from the state. This does not fall under Article 6. And so we just decided to, as some of these other similar laws, to leave it up to the county executive, essentially, to the county of Ulster to assign those functions. But the agency is absolutely willing to do the education and even receive the reports, and they need that information anyway. So under education, implementation, reporting, the county can make an agreement with the agency, whether it's a financial agreement or just an agreement. But the agency absolutely did not feel it was appropriate for them to enforce. So that is, you know, left to the county executive, as I believe in some of the earlier waste legislation that's been passed. Rather than trying to specify or figure out where to place that, we're leaving that with the county executive. Any other questions on the existing redlined document? Now, I think maybe we should act on that and then very quickly touch on the
Second Amendment
to keep
sure.
it clear. We already have a motion and a second
to amend.
To the redlined version.
To the redlined version. Is that... are we ready to call the question?
I am.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion to amend Local Law Number 5 of 2019 has been approved. And now there are two other questions. On what I'd like to amend the amendment on Section 304.50 applicability, that the applicability... amend the amended version, yes. For the applicability to start on January 1st instead of April 22nd for all of those categories, but that under enforcement, that enforcement would not start until April 22nd, Earth Day. You took me literally. I said April. April 22nd to give people the first year, four months, so that the enforcement would begin for all categories as of April 22nd, 2020.
But the other three categories won't apply as of yet. So to really, so then
yeah,
for,
it just means enforcement starts
basically
on April 22nd, 2020.
In terms of the language, every date that you'll see will be changed to January 1st.
Yes.
But there will be a separate clause that would say that the county's enforcement would start on April 22nd or whatever date we choose, 2020.
Got it.
And that includes the two-ton... The very first one?
Yeah, it really will apply. It's to give the two-tonners a little wiggle room. The two-tonners. If you've been working on this as long as I have, you get code.
I'll move it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And the last thing is notification, and at this point, we hadn't specified notification. I do want people to be notified but I think we'll just leave that to the county.
This would be notification that you are in fact covered, and because you're running a restaurant, you may not know whether you've got, you know, 1,900 tons or 2,100 tons. Yeah. 1,900 pounds or 2,100 pounds. So this would be the question of whether or not you would receive a formal notification from the county that you're, because up until now we've been sort of working off of reports that were generated based on industry tabulations and things like that. And so the question is what mechanism the committee wants to put forward to, if at all, for a formal notification of people.
Right. Do you have suggested language on that?
I mean, typically the method of notification is a executive function. So just, I think it's, we can simply say must be notified, receive notification, but in terms of like getting beyond the details of that, that's an operational.
So you would want one generalized sentence to be put in?
Yeah, I think that's, because I don't think, you know, it's really in a purview to tell them how to notify or anything like that. So I don't think it's.
But the critical point here is the question whether or not a restaurant would be entitled to notification, or whether the requirement would just sort of be there absent notification.
I'm going to suggest that we put it in section 304.
I think they're entitled to be notified.
Okay, yeah. That's the point that we was not here, and that's the next step is doing that.
If I may, I'm going to suggest that we put it in section 304.52, training and education, and I think we should just say notification, training and education, that the county designated the Ulster County, and again, this should say the county department designated or the designated agency shall provide notification, educational resources, including and
that's all you have to say?
Yeah.
I was just going to make it a separate subsection of 304, section D, because it's more of an adjunct to the regulatory function. It says you're on the spot now. It's not just a brochure thing. So
but it should be right in that area of the bill.
And we're going to change the heading there to training, education, and notification.
Ulster County shall notify each of the facilities designated in the previous paragraph that, you know, that the responsibilities of the paragraph apply, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Is there, and given that that language will be crafted, can we just move to make those two amendments?
Moved. Second.
Legislator Heppner and Legislator Waltman. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
And I would just note that when you're changing the dates, that there is Section 304.46, legislative intent and findings, there's that April 22nd date that would need to be changed as well.
Good, thank you.
Okay. January.
304.40. I see it.
304.
Commencing
46.
April 22nd.
Okay. Very good.
Good.
All right. Then do we need to. We've just authorized those two amendments. Those three amendments. And now, do we go
vote on
back?
The whole thing as amended.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So, we already have a motion.
You just have to
call
for the vote.
So we just call for the vote on resolution number 272 as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. We're on our way. Resolution
here.
Number 272 on the proposed local law number 5. Our next.
So moved.
Yeah.
Oh,
all
sorry,
right.
I thought you voted on it.
We just did. and I've lost my agenda.
Here's the next.
Okay. Thank you.
Here's the. Oh, there's an agenda.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Thank you. The Resolution
315.
Number 315, establishing a policy regarding Ulster County use of renewable energy. Legislator.
So
okay. Second?
Second.
Legislator Nolan, would you like to speak to this resolution?
This resolution was generated by the county executive stepping forward to announce some of the goals that are articulated here as policy, and in discussion with Amanda Laval at the Department of the Environment, added the idea that we would seek to become a gold certified climate smart committee, even though there are not yet any guidelines for that. But we want to push the envelope, so I think the other statements were a bringing together of what we've already achieved and then a proposal that we move forward to do more. Legislator Green had mentioned to me that she thought it would be helpful to include a whereas that addressed the New York State Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. And I think that is a good suggestion. I don't have language crafted for that, but perhaps we could do it on the fly, because I think it would be basically whereas New York State in its CCLAP.
And what, just tell me what the acronym stands for. It was
Climate Leadership Community Protection Act.
And Community Protection Act.
Yep.
Whereas New York State in that act has set similar goals.
Yep.
I think that could do it.
Yep.
Has established, maybe.
Established
similar goals.
Established. Got it. So are you moving that amendment?
I can't.
I'll move
can
it.
I think I need somebody in the committee.
Oh, that's right.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
I have to make the.
You make it.
I make it.
Move it.
Moved by Legislator Heppner, seconded by Legislator Waltman.
Sure.
And
that didn't take us too long.
No.
Sorry, I was distracted by the noise.
Chairwoman?
I would, there's one typo, which I just noticed, in the second resolved is so wrong, but that's not why I raised my hand. I raised my hand to thank Legislator Nolan, because I think this is a great resolution. I think we need to think more often about codifying the things that come up, and it's something we've talked about over time, and it's something I totally missed, and so I'm happy that you caught it and that you put it forward, because I think we have to hold each other and the administration accountable to these goals, and without something like this, there's really no accountability, so it made me very happy to see it. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Would any of you want
to? Oh yeah, I'd like to be added.
Yeah. It's on the amendment. Go ahead.
Okay, can I be added as a co-sponsor?
Yeah, I would love that too.
And may I as well?
Okay. All right. The whole committee.
Am I adding the entire committee?
Entire committee.
Really? I don't know. We can mess that up, I'm sure.
All right. On the amendment. Do we need to read the amendment again, or are we good? All right. On the amendment, calling for a vote on the amendment.
Aye.
All in favor? Anyone opposed? The amendment passes unanimously.
6-0.
That one.
Everybody.
Yeah. Okay. And on the resolution 316 as amended.
315 as amended.
Okay. I can't say I need glasses anymore, because I have glasses, so I better put them on.
It's okay, you sound like me at my committee meeting.
Oh, my goodness.
It's nothing to do with the glasses.
All in favor, right? Okay. Anyone opposed? Resolution number 315 has been adopted, has been approved, and we can go on to resolution number 364, supporting notice of intent of Ulster County to serve as lead agency for a capital project, number 488, installation of shoulders along Route 299, towns of New Paltz and Gardner, transportation improvement program, not on the state highway system, Department of Public Works. So,
so moved.
Second.
Okay, great. Anybody have any questions? This is a, if I recall, a type one. And work has already been done on this. And we just need to support the notice of intent. Yes?
Two things. One, I'd like to have my name added to this as well. You know, I just want to refresh everyone's memory that this is a very important project. It's partially in my district. We did do a portion of the Route 299, but it stopped at a critical juncture, and there was a very prominent bicycle accident that happened there to a member of the climbing and skydiving community, and she's still recovering. And it's a dangerous road that is highly used by bicyclists and recreational people, and that I think we need to have a lot of forward thinking in this and in the Public Works Committee about how we strategize. Something I talked about even in the taking of properties that go up for auction, that we should start thinking about expanding the taking more of the right of way, just in the anticipation of potentially these types of projects, because I think each of us probably lives in a community where we're seeing more and more activity on our roads, and when that activity is a competition between bicyclists and joggers and people walking with baby carriages and two cars or a wide truck, it doesn't always work out well, because there's very limited shoulders, and this dredging practice, which I wanted to discuss more actively, also puts, I think, both our cars and our bicyclists, et cetera, Kathy's wearing the pin, at risk. So, sorry to go on so long, but this is a critically important project that I hope we can all be behind, but I think we should also know how important it is to the community and to the safety of our residents.
And also the financial impact is covered by the TIP program.
Yeah. I don't know if you can do it at this meeting, but I'd like to be a co-sponsor on this as well, add my name to it as well. Yeah. And I agree with all of that, and was going to bring up the fact that this TIP funding, and this is a good way to do this without it costing or being additional tax dollars from the county.
All right. Any other discussion on resolution number 364? I'd like to call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The resolution carries. And we are on to there is a resolution for introduction in September. On pollinator-friendly practices, and Legislator Nolan, would you like to speak with that?
Yes, I think the resolution is pretty straightforward. It was generated out from the fact that Albany County passed a resolution, similar resolution, naming themselves a pollinator-friendly county, and they were not yet doing some of the things we're already doing. So I said, if they are, we definitely are. And so I set about trying to craft what we are doing that is good, and look at the history and ecology of pollinators in the Catskills in Ulster County. So it resulted in this draft, which I want people to help make better. And in Public Works and Capital Projects, there were several suggestions which I do want to incorporate. One was that where we mentioned the town of Olive being one of the municipalities that's taken the municipal monarch pledge, that we include some of the, that we include a whereas that also names some of the individual pledges that people can take. So you can go right to this resolution and find
website.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool that when the municipalities, the towns do it, they can take the pledge with just one commitment. But if they take more commitments, then they get kind of like bronze, silver, gold. You can increase your status. And the idea is that if communities around, you know, do this, that you begin to have corridors that may benefit pollinators. Tom Jackson, the highway commissioner, was concerned about the third resolve in terms of the timing of roadside mowing. I have been told that DEP times its mowing in the late spring and then the early fall and leaves the summer alone, which protects the wildflowers. And so I thought we could do that here. I thought we actually already were doing it. It turns out that Ulster County has 486 lane miles to cover, and they literally can't get it all mown if they don't use a lot of the summer. So in discussion in committee, we decided that we would try to amend that or take out the timing issue, and instead the highway department is making a commitment to plant pollinators and carbon sequestering cover crops on slopes and in areas that don't have to be mown. So they prefer to be able to do what they need to do, and we'll get to the dredging question, which they're already willing to adjust on as well. But they requested we either not have that, or we make it very that we allow for the exemption of safety and site distances and pavement preservation activities.
But it says we're practicable, so I feel like they may be being oversensitive, because I feel like if there was a safety issue or a line of sight issue, then it's not practicable to not mow it. So I
brought that up.
We can maybe figure out a way to.
I think the if practical is way up at the beginning, and then the timing is way
right.
at the end, and so maybe it break it into two resolves. But
okay.
I'm open to amending it that way, because I think they've made an accommodation that might get us more than we were trying to protect with the mowing, because a lot of the grasses that are mown are not necessarily pollinator helpful.
The milkweed is the big.
Are you helping with that? Great.
The milkweed is the big.
Yes, but a lot of people are planting milkweed roadside, and I think the idea.
This is on my milkweed.
Oh, she's got.
I just found three, and it's the first time that I found any in 3 years.
Wow.
I've had the milkweed, but I haven't found the caterpillars.
That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah.
That is fantastic. But the idea would be that instead of necessarily targeting roadsides where you actually then have pollinators right next to fast-moving cars, that maybe we get slopes and areas of grassland and that could contain pollinator plants that are actually safer and could still provide that same function.
Jonathan?
No, this is another great resolution. I think that's a really good point that you made about not just thinking about when we mow, but also being proactive in, in spaces that we can be with the planting. It's something that I've seen the state they've been doing it on my commute to Albany in the center, especially places where there's like center divides and such. And they even have like nice little signs that highlight like, let's say, wildflower area. I think they say like no picking, but so I think that's a great idea. And also for the milkweed, I know for like when the town of Woodstock did it, the one issue that came up was for haying. I don't know if that's something that would really impact the county. I know like when Woodstock did it, they did an agricultural exemption. But I don't know if that we even
legislator Litz asked about this in Public Works as well. Because this is county property and we don't have any fields that are reserved for hay. Because
we hate town property in Woodstock, so that's why I was just wondering.
Have Xena Cornfield and other properties.
Longyear Field across from the post office, Como.
Yeah. But legislator Litz was asking for a commitment that we wouldn't try to regulate on private property.
Yeah, I was just wondering if the county contracted with any ag. Like, that's what we contract with local farmers, so we get free mowing, they get free hay. Essentially, is how it works. But I'm not sure. I'd be surprised if the county had any of those.
I think it's a null set. We could try to anticipate it and put in an exemption if you want to help.
If it's necessary.
Yeah.
But speaking of farming, you know, Kathy and I were at an event last night where the subject came up, and they were talking about, you know, Ulster County is one of the biggest apple producers in New York State, and there's no crop more threatened by the bee issue than apples. And so, you know, it's
apples, peaches, cherries.
And so it just, you know, there's also this economic impact.
So just two quick comments. One, the result that has to do with the pesticides, I'd be curious, and we don't have to go into it at length right now, I'd be curious about at least an initial inventory about it, because the county has a policy that I believe I was the sponsor of in 2007 or 6 or something, I mean a long time ago, that prohibits the county from using pesticides on county property without a special exemption. So I'm curious what the discussion would be about it.
We did talk about that. The county is currently not using neonicotinoids or as an insecticide, and not using glyphosate as a, which is Roundup, as an herbicide, except there is an exemption program. So because of that exemption,
it's still important to include.
I didn't write it more strongly because of the exemption. So I was trying to capture the fact that we are headed in that direction in a pretty strong way. And reading it now, it could be stronger.
And it's maybe something that between now and next month we just get some answers on about, you know, what they're actually using.
That they are using no herbicides and no insecticides.
Oh, that's great.
It's all mechanical. And the only thing that they were concerned about is that Tom Jackson, is that they're feeling like they might need to do something for knotweed that might involve glyphosate. I mentioned to them, and I sent it to Tom Jackson in an email message, the DEP is using glufosinate or something like that. I can send you the spelling of it, which is a herbicide derived from soil bacteria and therefore believed to be not very toxic. So he was open to the idea of looking at that, a non-toxic herbicide if there is a need. And there are some potential mechanical ways of dealing with knotweed, although they're extremely labor intensive. Mm-hmm. And there's not much research on them, but he was open to talking with me. I've been using a mechanical method in Woodstock at the Woodstock Artist Museum, Artist Association and Museum, and we had talked about putting together a research study in the Midtown Linear Park using whatever they think is what they need to use, and using this mechanical method and really compare them.
So that was the one. And then the other comment, again, something just to put in your mind to think about in this month, and I'm not saying to necessarily put a financial impact, but I would love for there actually to be a financial impact for this, for us to actually spend a little money in the declaration and in the public
education
component. So again, we're about to go into budget cycle. If it's something that we can get support for, I would want to at least advocate to the executive that this is something we really believe in as part of the directive that the executive has brought forward, and as a policy that the legislature wants to see, and we'd like to at least see some dedicated funds to a rollout. Because because so often we do this and then it's like an internal discussion where we could actually have an impact on local communities taking pride in an action like this. So that's, again, something to think about, and I think maybe we could have those conversations with the executive's office between now and then.
Chief pollinator.
I like that.
Pollinator in chief.
The public works was very willing to accept that there would be some incremental cost of putting in the pollinators and the carbon sequestering cover.
Yeah.
And they said that they could build that into their budget.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice because
that's
it didn't
great.
Make that part of the financial impact. And
I think a modest amount to go to public education, like the resolves that talk about encouraging local residents, gardeners, educators that were making this declaration, a declaration is very different with even a small campaign. And it doesn't have to be giant, but I think it's something I certainly will advocate with you for it because I think this is important. It's important to our farmers. It's important to our very way of life. So,
yes, I think that's a very helpful suggestion. I do think that it's going to have a life because people are wanting, you know, they're like, oh, somebody's bringing it all together because of all these little desperate efforts.
Right.
And so Cornell is excited about it. Hudsonia is excited about it. DC is excited about it. All the people I reached out to try to write a decent resolution on this all want to pick it up. And the community, you know, we only have one community, Olive, that has so far taken the Monarch Pledge. I think just sending this to all the municipalities.
Yeah.
I mean, Woodstock has got to go on this you know?
I'm surprised we didn't include the Monarchs. I don't know what we did.
What
a while ago. I don't know why we would have left them.
I'd like to be added to this too.
I like my name added when it does get introduced.
And also, as far as the education thing, I think a lot of people don't realize buying plants from like Home Depot and Lowe's and stuff and Walmart. Those plants are toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I try not to buy any of those because
they're toxic.
Tom Jackson asked
people don't realize they're poisoning.
And the rounders
are
built into the plants.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
wonderful.
Yeah, Tom Jackson asked for a list of the places where he could get native, organic, non-treated seeds for these purposes. So I'm going to work on that with the Department of Environment. And maybe we could also, maybe they could develop a little fact sheet about that.
Right, because the public, when I bring that up to people,
they don't want to believe it.
They don't believe it.
But they don't think
it's true.
It is true.
I know. Yeah, but they do not think it's true.
No, they don't. It's hard to believe it. And if you do believe it, your cost for doing gardening goes up, and you don't want that.
So basically, you're buying something pretty discounted.
I want to just add two quick things. First of all, I want to say how receptive and in Public Works, Tom Jackson and the entire staff that were present were very, very receptive, so that was very encouraging. Signage might also go in the budget, along with the education.
Like New York State has.
And the one thing, I just want to remind you of the language that I think they'd be very happy to specifically include, and that's without compromising safety or sight distance. I think that's how we had agreed to word that. So. And since this is just for consideration, you can modify that. We don't have to do anything formal on that. All right.
But if anybody wants to send me
suggestions
that you would like to see in it, I'm very open to that.
Did you get all your co-sponsors? Because I think I missed a couple.
Did you get me?
It's pretty much
it looks like the whole committee can
give a shout out to the apples in the warehouse.
Yeah,
the apples.
Yeah, give a shout out to them.
Yeah, it was in the, I think that was in the Albany one.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I was getting,
I
didn't want more than two pages of whereases.
I can imagine,
how about them apples?
I think it would be a smart addition.
But I can imagine that, like, the Ag Society.
Yes, another whereas.
What's the farmer?
I would like to ask if there's any new business.
Farm Bureau.
Okay. In terms of old business, I'll take just one sentence on each. Solid Waste Planning Commission has been meeting regularly. We've gone through almost the entire draft document, and we'll be focusing on regionalization. Tracy, I'm sorry you're not going to be able to be there, but...
I can probably try to call
her. When's the next meeting, Manna?
The 14th.
August 14th.
Okay. School starts from the 25th.
And... We have had a draft that only goes through Chapter 5 or something, and we're waiting on Cornerstone to fill that out, flush that out, and then we'll have, you know, something more specific to dig our teeth into. But we haven't really had a robust conversation on regionalization, and I promised I'd only take a sentence on each. So the Climate Smart Committee, I think the really good news is that the Green Business Challenge is moving forward. The executive branch is deciding most likely it will end up in the Office of Economic Development, and this month, an RFP is being developed. Next month, will be developed and issued. Next month, it'll be reviewed. And by October 1st, we should have somebody in that position. And thank goodness, because I'm getting, you know, I still get requests for help, and I'd like to be able to refer it to a staff person. And they are looking at budgeting a full-time position for next year. So I'm really delighted. And we had very good attendance at the last Climate Smart Committee. I was very worried about that. It looked like it was kind of falling apart, but people were proactive in reaching out, and the table was full, and as it needs to be, because we're in the middle of a climate crisis. And with that, yes.
Has the town of Hurley joined yet? Climate Smart?
I would have to look it up. I don't want to tell you wrong. Okay. And
just because I'm talking to a supervisor tomorrow.
Yeah. I can let you know tonight.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was just curious.
It's really easy to, if you Google Climate Smart Committee, they have a map that is kept current.
I think last month from Pearly, one of the people that was there.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's not on the committee, but he was
so that's
in
what. I'll tell him someone from Hurley is showing up anyway, so you might even.
Yeah,
have
yeah, we really had a full.
Get that grip on top of my head.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Everybody moves it. There's no one left to second it.
All right, so we're going to adjourn at 8:09. 8:09.